Djokovic second serve, sits up a bit for Ruud. Forehand return was a bit short and Djokovic suddenly whipped another forehand down the line. The way he's just generating pace from nowhere is, even by his standards, pretty extraordinary today.
Well, he's generating pace and he's also just generating more and more momentum in his favour. And almost with some of these shots, each one is just sending another message.
It's so cumulative. It's as though the way that he won that first set, now he went to the bathroom, came back, said, now I'm going to slam the door repeatedly until, like, there's just nothing left. There's no belief in you, Casper Ruud, that you can even make a match of this, let alone, you know, climb and have a comeback. 90-minute first set, only 20 minutes on the clock here. He's a couple of points away, potentially, from a 4-1 lead.
Yeah, another ace. His service stats must be fantastic, yeah, particularly in this second set. 3-1, 30 love. Bookworm has been in touch with the weather update. As Djokovic just clips the tape, it'll be another first serve. She says, I'm not sure if you're getting any spits of rain right now, but the bulk of it is still staying just to the north for now. Well, it doesn't look, certainly from where we're sitting, as though it's going to rain imminently. As a shorter serve is returned down the middle on the backhand side from Casper Ruud, who now winds up for a forehand. Djokovic makes room for himself. He was going for the inside-in forehand. It was an ambitious shot selection. It doesn't work. He nets.
I think a spot of rain might be just what Casper Ruud might be praying for at this point. A little delay while they shut the roof. Time to regroup, rethink, reset, get himself back into the mindset that he started this match with. Because at the moment, he's being steamrolled.
Yeah, he's stuck in his own head, it seems like, and it's running away so quickly right now. The scoreline is just out of control for him.
Well, it's another dangerous-looking first serve that just missed, but it was swinging away all the time from the right-hander, who continues to sway so far behind his baseline. Ellen has made that point. I mean, again, a nice little underarm serve now.
Let's go.
It's mad. Insult to injury. He hasn't done that. He's served to the forehand of Ruud. The return was up the middle of the court. He's now onto a backhand. A little bit of height in that one. But Djokovic in the right position to hammer away a forehand.
And a sudden little gust of wind swirling around at least the end of the court that Novak Djokovic is. You can see his shirt just suddenly fluttering, got a little bit of clay in his eyes, and I wonder if that's a sign that we might be getting a little change in the weather, the wind, in what's otherwise been a really still day, just starting.
Well,
natural air conditioning.
It will be a relief for everybody if the wind gets up a little bit, except perhaps the players.
Well, like I said, I think it would be a relief for Ruud, actually, to have a little break,
yes,
little mental break.
Yes. Second serve for Djokovic at 3-1, 40-15. Looking to sit down with a 4-1 lead, as, of course, Casper Ruud did in the first set. All change thereafter. Double fault. That's his first, in fact. It is his first. He needs to come up with one of those as well. He's getting all sorts of official definitions of the word persnickety. Placing too much emphasis on trivial or minor details. Fussy. She's very persnickety about her food, requiring a particularly precise or careful approach. It's a late 19th century word. And there we are. You guys around the world, you're so knowledgeable. Return for Roots long. And despite the double fault, Djokovic holds on comfortably enough and extends his lead to 4-1. Worth reminding you what he's going in search of course. The biggest prize of all, as far as he's concerned, a 23rd Grand Slam title. That would be a record on the men's side. He'd move one ahead of Rafael Nadal. He'd move level with Serena Williams. And he'd move to within one of Margaret Court. And we know Serena's, she's not stalled. She's staying unless something remarkable happens. And Courtney would be the first to tell us. But there's no imminent sign of a comeback for Serena. So she's stuck on 23. Novak does get to 23 here. I don't think you'd find too many people who would not expect him to add to that tally. And of course, the calendar Grand Slam will be on, having won the Australian Open as well. He'll have won every slam 3 times, which so far at least is something that only Margaret Court, Steffi Graf and Serena Williams have managed. I mean, these lists of achievements and records are ridiculous, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, it gets ridiculous when every single time you win a major or a week passes by or something, your name is alongside the short list of the goats of the game, the greatest in the game. And continuing to write that and not really see too many signs of stopping for Novak Djokovic. I mean, he can win on all surfaces. His game continues to be, with the experience, obviously, that he has lapped the field on, because it is a younger field that's trying to now chase him down. It's that gap is so apparent. I mean, we're seeing it today. Yes, some of it is tactics and game and things like that. But as Eleanor, you know, keeps saying, it's an experience issue. It's knowing how to manage this moment, knowing what it takes to do this, and having an encyclopedia worth of knowledge on that compared to a few index cards for your opponent.
Well, having done it and got it wrong.
Yes,
as
absolutely.
Well as getting it right many times.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, you think of what Novak might have done. He's come so close on so many occasions. That's why he originally brought Boris Becker into his team, because he wasn't having a good enough record when he got to Grand Slam finals. And of course, Goran Ivanišević has guided him so very well too. I mentioned that stat that since moving into his 30s, his conversion rate in Slam finals is, I think it's 10-2, whereas prior to that it was 12-9. So he's fine-tuned what he has to do when it really matters. As Fiona gets in touch to tell me that my brother, Hugh Grant, is in the stands. They've just shown him on the TV coverage.
Did he not tell you he was coming?
No, he didn't mention it.
He
hasn't spoken to me since I impersonated him at that Cannes Film Festival back in 1995, to be honest. Slice backhand from Ru, that's going to drift long.
Still one of my favourite stories.
You've got to do these things. For those who weren't listening the first week, I disgraced myself with a few friends. We had a little film, student film at the Cannes Festival. We looked at the name of the VIPs deviously, chose three, and then once we got in, I pretended I was Hugh Grant and gave three interviews to American network television. They all fell for it, hook, line, and sinker.
It's the accent. It doesn't matter. We would just assume you're King Charles.
Well, I said I'm his brother. I know him extremely well. I can tell you all about what's going on with his life as, a miss hit really from Ru evades Novak Djokovic, who'd come in but couldn't get to the ball. It was something I should not have done, and I apologise in particular to the very important film director who couldn't get into the party that night because one of my friends had assumed his identity, and when he got there 20 minutes later, I think having won the Palme d'Or award that day, he was told, "You're not coming in, you're already in," which didn't make a lot of sense.
How could you do Marty Scorsese dirty like that? That's just wrong. Yeah, have some respect for the greats.
30-15, and the return's long from Djokovic, and this is a more comfortable game for Casper.
It's been a while since he felt in any way, shape, or form comfortable.
And he's starting with the basics, which is the one shot he can control, which is the first serve. He's starting to land it much more frequently in the last couple of games.
1-4, 40-15. And Ruud lands another one, but the return is right back at him. Ruud just blocked it with a half volley on the backhand side. Now slices deep for the Djokovic baseline, goes across court to the Djokovic forehand, and that's a little wild for Novak. And a hold to 15 for the Norwegian. 4-2.
Djokovic almost just not exactly taking his foot off the gas, but it's almost as if all the work's done in this set. I can take it back down a little level, and if I need to surge again, I'll surge again.
He's comfortable with the lead that he's built. I think he's chuntering to his box just a little bit, but I think it's just chat. But he's done a few of these things. I don't know if you have this term in British sports, but heat checks. So,
I beg your pardon?
A heat check. Basically, if a shooter in basketball feels like they're really in a groove, they'll go for an impossible shot just to see how hot they are. And I feel like a few of these forehands that Novak has hit once he was unleashing them and hitting them for winners earlier in this set, he's starting to slap a little.
No slap about that, though. Takes hold of that rally from the word go and comes in and flicks away well with a lot of power. A forehand up the line with Ruud nowhere in sight.
Well, sometimes, yeah, with the heat check, it's great if it works. But if you do it too many times, you can start to lose your momentum and rhythm on it. Obviously, they're a great forehand winner from Novak as he continues to dominate from that wing.
The other thing, of course, is if you're a break-up on the rest of your opponent's service games for the rest of the set, you can afford to just go for it a bit, can't you?
Well, Novak looked up a couple of times, almost as though the sun, which isn't fully out, was just affecting him. There has been varying degrees of bright sunshine, limited sunshine, and cloud cover during this final. They closed the roof just before it started, but then opened it again, and that decision has been fully vindicated. Mid-court return, which is clipped across the net by Ruud, who now comes in behind a forehand. Djokovic is going to drive a ball past him. Ruud gets to the first volley, gets to an overhead, but he should get past it. No, he isn't. Djokovic plays the attempted pass across court, but straight onto the racket of his opponent.
Gaza.
Better from Ruud again, coming forward. He's looked good when he's come forward, and I don't think he's done it often enough, but I don't think he's been able to. I don't think he's been allowed to.
Another stat that we've mentioned a few times and is not relevant yet because Djokovic hasn't gone two sets up yet, but he's only ever lost one match from two sets up. Backhand reply from Ruud, who's now onto his forehand side, to the forehand of Djokovic, who continues to flail away in pretty ferocious fashion on that forehand in particular. Ruud's getting everything back. He's coming in again. He's playing the backhand volley up the line. Djokovic puts up a high ball. Ruud's underneath it, puts the smash away, but Djokovic, well, he put the smash away straight at Djokovic, who can only net on his forehand side. Ruud is hanging on for dear life here and just threatening maybe to change the pattern of this second set.
All of a sudden, 15-30. Forecast Ruud as Novak Djokovic gets a little bit of extra air, towels off at his box. But this is what I was saying before. You can, as Eleanor aptly pointed out, a little bit of taking the foot off the gas pedal, maybe a little bit lackadaisical. Now, if that worked out, it could have been that he was actually trying to downshift, but didn't see this potential plot twist coming. But
well, we must apologise. That Simon Camber's just reminding everybody that he's written a book.
Available on Amazon.
15-30. Forehand return down the middle of the court from Ruud. He's onto that forehand again. Djokovic skimming one low onto the forehand side. Now moving across to his backhand. And oh, will Ruud loft it? Well, I thought it was going to go long. That one is. There were lots of hushes and oohs as Ruud threatened to go long. Second time around, he did. It's 30-all.
And I think those cries, the cry out from the crowd kind of threw both of them off. I think Novak was surprised that the call never came and was a little bit confused, and so was Casper. Tough miss there. Bad backhand miss from Casper Ruud. Big point. Could have given him at least a chance at his double
point. And the crowd's still sensing that this is a big point. If Ruud is to mount a comeback, it does really need to begin here. With Djokovic is set up, serving at 4-2, 30-all.
Putt down, Simon.
Yeah, just Simon's actually, I can see he's been dragged out now, despite the fact that he's throwing books at people and saying, I'll sign them for you as well.
It's been translated in multiple languages.
That's a good serve. Backhand return doesn't have much power on it. Djokovic with a big forehand, but it's repelled by Ruud, who now goes onto the slice on his backhand. He gets it all wrong. You could hear the cry of anguish as he knew straight away that that wasn't going to do the business for him.
Well, we've seen Ruud throw quite a lot of slice in, and I'm not sure. I mean, it's a great tactic if you're trying to change the rhythm and just jog Novak Djokovic out of his baseline comfort zone, but it's quite hard to pull off in mid-rally against someone who hits the ball as cleanly as Djokovic does.
Yeah, and the problem is for Ruud is I actually think he's trying to use that slice more to buy himself time to defend, which is already in a bad position. You're already thinking, how do I get more time to defend? But it gives you an indication as to how quickly these rallies go when Novak Djokovic is in control.
Well, he's hit a lofted return that was right on the Djokovic baseline. Up goes a high lob from Djokovic. It bounces just before the Ruud baseline, and his overhead goes straight into the net. But it seems to me that Sasha Zverev began this unfortunate trend of not being able to deal with overheads at Chatre during his semi-final a couple of days ago. Both these players have had problems today, but Ruud the more so. And that error takes Djokovic into a 5-2 lead in a moment. The Norwegian is going to serve to stay in the second set, and even if he does, all the cards are with the Serb, who I mentioned has only once lost from two sets up in his career. That was here 13 years ago, 2010, against Jürgen Meltzer. That tweet from Max, who also says, that's it from me. 326 tweets sent in a fortnight. Come on, get up to 330 at least, Max.
You're a numbers guy, Max. You like a round number, don't you?
Yeah, 326 is nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing.
But thank you very much. They've been terrific. They've been a welcome addition. Hopefully you found them a welcome addition. We certainly have. Do keep your tweets and your emails coming. Novak is just having a little word via the umpire with the ball girl. He wants, I think, another iced towel. I wouldn't buy one of those, to be honest. He's also just pouring water over his head at the moment. Wants to keep as cool as he can as he seemingly marches towards a two-set lead. You can tweet us at @radio_RG, @radio_RG. You can email us, FrenchOpenRadio@fft.fr. That's FrenchOpenRadio@fft.fr. Apologies, we won't have all that much time to read out too many of those tweets and emails today as we focus on this men's singles final, but we still love to hear from you. I'm Marcus Buckland in the company of Courtney Lewin and Lady Eleanor of Preston. Hubbub. Okay. Want to get their money's worth, of course. There was a notable cheer for Novak when he came out today, which I'm sure he must have loved. But we know what tennis crowds are like. They don't want to see a quick, well, it's not going to be a quick three-setter after what happened in the first set, but they love the underdog to do something, don't they, understandably.
I think particularly here, there's an emotional connection to the underdog that's unlike any of the other slams.
Djokovic has come in and been passed.
And you can hear them just trying to get some self-belief into Casper Ruud. They're looking for something to seize on. On the other hand, I think there's also that element of being in the room, so to speak, when somebody makes such an important piece of history is also an appealing idea.
2-5-15, love. Deep serve, forehand return straight back at Ruud. What a return. And the plus one shot was rushed.
And I do think that it's been a little bit tricky for the crowd because there hasn't been a lot of rhythm to particularly this second set. First set maybe a little bit more, but points are being kept short for very understandable reasons by the players. But there haven't been those rousing, 14-15 shot rallies.
Well, and the first set, as much as it was very long, parts of it were really quite scrappy. I'm not sure there were too many periods where both players were playing really well. Djokovic played outstanding tennis in the tiebreak, but until that point, it wasn't the highest quality set we've seen.
Oh, Casper. Well, he's going to be ruining that one. It was a good body serve, which really took Djokovic by surprise. He fended his return back into the mid-court area, and Ruud came forward. He had all the time in the world to pick his spot, and he dragged his shot wide. So it's suddenly 15-30, and Novak's potentially 2 points away from that two-set lead. To go to the Djokovic backhand on that occasion. Ball just clips the top of the tape. Damien Dumasoir, dark haired with a beard, white shirt, certainly no need for a sweater. All the line judges just have their polo tops on. There's aquamarine. I think that's the right colour, is it? Aquamarine? Yeah.
Yeah, you got there.
Blue tops. Cricket sweaters not required. Backhand return now from Djokovic. Oh, it's another brilliant return right onto the Ruud baseline, right where he's standing. Again, he has to fend off a half volley on the forehand for his plus one shot. He couldn't control it. It goes wide. And here are two set points for Novak Djokovic. Gigi may well have to cut short that massage. Serves to the forehand. The turn is long.
It'd be ridiculous.
On the gun.
She would never.
You'll just have to carry on a bit longer.
She'll also be telling me that she'll look closely at my invoice today because she did an hour and 23 minutes for the first set and I've only done 38 or whatever it is.
It's not a very good Gigi impression.
No, that's not a very good Gigi. Good. Sorry, that was not very good.
It wasn't very imperial.
No, it wasn't. That was her off microphone voice. That's what she really sounds like. That's a good forehand cross-court winner from Casper Ruud. So he's battling on. He's dragged it back from 15-40 to deuce to just about keep his head above water in this second set.
It's quite a lot like my off-microphone voice.
What?
You're on microphone voice.
Needed it. I just needed it once. Needed the what once.
Ruud serves to the forehand. Deep return again from Djokovic, who has to race across onto his backhand side. Puts up a high ball. Oh, it's an overhead, but this time Ruud gets it right. Well, this is impressive, isn't it? I mean, you know, he could easily just slithered away on this service game.
It's impressive and it's necessary because a break of serve here, Djokovic serving first in the third set, suddenly everything accelerates from there.
This is with the first set. Richard, our king of puns, has been back again saying, I wonder if Simon is going to write a book about beach volleyball entitled Canberra's Sands. Believe you me, if he does, you'll hear about it ad nauseum as Djokovic tries to go up the line with his backhand. He misses, so Ruud, having faced two set points, does at least hold.
That's all he can do.
And to be fair, I mean, obviously, the difference in kind of levels at the moment and quality at the moment between Ruud and Djokovic is, I think, informs kind of our tone about this being, as you said before, a steamrollery set. It is still one break, and he was 2 points away from potentially getting that break back in the last service game, so he still can shift this on its head. But
you're absolutely right. It's the power of Djokovic's sort of force of personality on the tennis court when he gets into this situation, is it feels like an enormous gap.
Yes. It's all being played on his terms. I mean, if he's down 1-4, 2-4, or if he's up, it's all on Novak Djokovic's side.
Well, here he is serving for the second set. It was a second set. There was not great deal of power behind it, just 128 kilometres an hour. Ruud's gone across court on his forehand. Djokovic down the middle to the sliced backhand of Ruud. Djokovic goes over his backhand side. So too does Ruud. Same again from Djokovic. Backhand to backhand, and then Ruud. Well, I don't know whether he was just trying to inject more power, whatever it is. Both Eleanor and Courtney have mentioned he's playing outside his comfort zone here, and that leads to errors. There was another one. First point goes to the man in the by now familiar red top, blue shorts, white socks, red and white shoes, that massive dark hair. The man who has been on top of the tennis world since 2007. And shows no signs of going away at the age of 36, although, as we mentioned earlier, Ruud returns short ball, inside out, forehand winner from Djokovic. I just waited for a moment, it was right on the line again, but the line judge's arm did not stick out. We were talking to a Serbian broadcaster a little earlier who said that Novak is missing his family. He's been travelling since the age of 14 or 15 on the junior circuit. He might not want to go on for as long as some suspect, maybe a year and a year and a half. He said that's an unofficial view from a highly regarded Serbian source. But either way, he wants to make hay while the sun is shining, and he's certainly doing that at the moment.
Well, as we said, we also don't know what's going on in his body.
Yes, he did hint at, you know, he says, I've got a long list of issues. I'm not going to complain about them. But the body, he says, has been pretty good this fortnight. I think it's going to let him down now. Just takes a bit of pace off his inside-out forehand, and the slice again on the backhand side from Ruud is not good. It's into the net, and here are set points again. Three of them this time.
And Ruud again going back to the corner just by the Rolex clock, having a little chat to his team. It's not a happy chat. It's not a happy situation. And it's certainly not a happy scoreline.
Novak, shirt just ruffling in the breeze, which has picked up a little bit. Serving out wide to the backhand of Ruud, shortish ball, and up the line, as comfortably as you like. Novak hits his backhand winner, and imperiously, after 2 hours and 13 minutes, moves into a two-set lead. Well, I think Casper needs to get Jürgen Meltzer's number, ring him up right away and say, what did you do here 13 years ago to retrieve a two-set deficit?
I think Jürgen Meltzer would say, well, I played Novak Djokovic 13 years ago.
Yes.
That was a big one.
I got my timing right.
that's a big one. I mean, the tough thing for Casper Ruud, I mean, even there, you know, Novak Djokovic fires a backhand up the line to seal that set. Casper Ruud immediately swiveled his head around and looked to his box and said something and then turned around and he just kept shaking his head and then looked back at his box again to kind of stare at them. And it just seems like a guy who doesn't have the answers. He does not know how to get himself out of these patterns that Djokovic is developing, sees anything that he's doing that hurts Novak Djokovic at all. This is kind of a hopeless situation for Casper Ruud at the moment because everything that he's doing is feeding right into what Novak Djokovic wants him to do.
And we were concerned that that might happen for Casper Ruud, having lost that first set in which he led 4-1 and just started to unravel towards the end of that set, and Djokovic really took command in that tiebreaker, and that was a real test, wasn't it? Those early stages of the second set was a test of Casper Ruud's self-belief, and it's been pummeled and tested every single point since then.
Yeah, and it was tested, you know, when he gave up the lead and he buckled on the overhead, he buckled a little bit to get that match tight. Then in the tiebreak, Novak Djokovic slammed the door. That was... We said it then, that looked like lights out the minute that the way that he did that, and here we are, into a third.
And here's Gigi Salmon back from her massage. How was it?
Yes.
Well, it was a lot shorter. I'd planned it. I'd gone for the full body over an hour massage, and then suddenly the therapist said, Gigi, I think you're fine. And so, you know, I'm a bit oily because he couldn't quite get it all off, and, you know, it's so... It's not as good as some of the others have been over the course of the
You might have got dressed.
Yeah. we are so sorry
so
for you, Gigi.
Can you imagine?
One thing I have noticed...
Walking here naked and oily.
I mean...
No one wants to see that or think that.
I think at this point... I just noticed that economy of employment... They're only requiring four people now, Jose and three of his colleagues.
No, Jose had six out earlier initially.
But look, one of them is just leaning against the awnings, watching his mates.
It's day 15, he's having a lean.
There's a Marcus in every team, isn't there?
She is
on that note,
fire
yes,
today.
Yes.
Winner after winner after winner. Oh. Eleanor Preston game
it's
set
It's a bit
match.
Like Casper Ruud against Novak Djokovic, isn't it? The first few days it was nip and tuck, but now it's... Courtney rightly said, just pummeling with the winners.
Racing away with it.
Jose and his hose and his friends just sort of finish off at the... He's not called Jose. Jose has a very big hose and that's why he needs friends to help him get it.
We've had lots of wonderful emails and tweets from all of you. As Marcus was saying, it's really difficult in a final because we want to bring you every ball. We don't feel like we can meander as much as we might usually do. But you have sent some wonderful emails. Lots of people emailing and messaging us to say goodbye, which is making me feel quite sad and bittersweet.
Last day of school.
It is the last day of school.
Yeah. Break.
Sandrine says, good afternoon. One last email to say goodbye for this year as the tournament will soon come to an end. Thank you for keeping me company while I paint. Oh. I always enjoy the fortnight with Radio Roland Garros every year. When Stefan starts the music at the very end for the last time, I always shed a little tear.
Have you noticed how quick he is to start the music? It's been getting quicker and quicker. As soon as they finish speaking, the music comes up. We're out the door.
It's the wind-up signal, I think it's a bit much.
It's so loud that you can't actually, you're shouting over it. You're like, okay, goodbye. Right, here we go. Well, this is definitely my last set of tennis with you. Is it going to be the last set of tennis, the 2023 Roland Garros men's final?
What happens if it goes five?
Marcus doing 4 and 5. Obviously, the massage that I left, I have to get back to. Yeah. There's a little bit, another half a body to do before the end. So,
Thomas is a good reason.
And that's obviously a very good reason. Right, Casper Ruud stands to reason. Needs a good start to this third set. He has lost 10 straight sets of tennis to Novak Djokovic. This is their fifth meeting. Just waiting for everyone to settle. Oh, the pigeons. They're still looking for Marcus, aren't they?
No, they're meeting him on the rooftop.
Oh, wow. Okay. long from Djokovic off a good wide serve from Ruud.
Yes, I'm not sure this is going to go to four and certainly not five sets. I can make a bold prediction at this point with the 22-time Grand Slam champion losing two sets, winning two sets up on Casper Ruud, a man he's beaten in all their previous matches. I just thought I'd really go on a limb and predict that I think Novak Djokovic might wrap this up.
But the sun will rise again the next morning. She's going with history here.
Fair. Oh, just put a bit of a downer on this final.
Well, it's
people
just
are still
trick,
listening, and Alan is like, right, it's going to be done in 35 minutes' time.
As we know, I'm consistently wrong.
Play the music.
I'm consistently wrong.
Are you trying to do the commentator's curse thing? Is that what it is?
No way this goes a fourth set.
6 hours, 40 minutes later, we're still here. Into the corner goes Ruud. It's 15-all. Drives the forehand out of the air. The volley blocked back on the backhand. Then cross-court into the open space goes Djokovic. At the moment, he is one step ahead of Casper Ruud.
Yeah, even when Casper Ruud might feel like he's in control of point here again, he's going into the net, he's trying to do that, but it just still feels like everything that he's doing is playing exactly into Novak Djokovic's hands. He's not actually in control. It's a false sense in those moments. And again, he just looks forlorn as he looks to his box after that point.
15-30, the opening has appeared for Djokovic. The ace is secured from Ruud, and it's 30-all.
Holding serve here is the absolute minimum for Ruud, just to try and at least reclaim a bit of momentum, a little bit of scoreboard pressure in this third set.
Serve out wide, snap back to his feet, but it's long. And Ruud was just staring at line going, I'm not going to hit that. And David Dumoulin pops down and he says, yep, you didn't make it.
It's quite a late call. I wonder if the line judge was actually unsighted because Casper Ruud was so much over the ball.
Oh. 2 hours 21, serve down the tee into the net. And that could turn out to be a very important hole because in the third set we've only played a game, but Casper Ruud has a scoreboard lead.
He does have a scoreboard lead, and he made every single first serve in that game. And as the second set progressed, his first serve percentage did start to go up. He started to find his slot there, which is massive, and that helped him keep it as close as it was. I mean, he very easily could have been a double breakdown. It felt like he was a double breakdown throughout that second set, but he was able to keep things close. So yeah, scoreboard pressure, Novak Djokovic serving from behind. We'll see how we go.
There's an enormous queue outside when I was coming back from... See, the massage rooms are across from us here.
Oh,
it's
weird.
Also known as the TV compound. And there was a massive queue for the waffles. I'm talking... You've had a Stefan had a look. I'm talking... It was kind of snaking round and over across to Philippe Chatrier.
I believe it.
At what point, if you're at the back of it, do you think, actually, I don't want to waffle that badly?
You can tell by my accent. I don't like lines, actually, or queues. No, I'm not going to stand in a queue for that long.
No.
For 99.9% of things.
Because Gigi and I live for cues.
Well, that's what I hear.
Well,
I heard y'all seem to like it.
Y'all, no. Still y'all in the queuing thing. Backhand down the line, the squash up. If I've got the boys with me and say they want an ice cream, I've got no choice because it's not worth not queuing. And the grief I'm going to get, I might just stand in the queue. But if I'm on my own, it's not happening.
I didn't get my waffle though this fortnight.
You haven't had a waffle at all.
I didn't have one.
Oh, is that a work thing or a conscious thing or a queue thing?
I think it's been too hot. In the past, when I've wanted them, it's been a cooler girls.
I know what you mean, actually. Forehand flick cross court from Djokovic. He's dictating this point. He's inside the baseline. He's moving Casper Ruud around. He plays the half volley. He cushions it off his shoelaces delicately down and wins the point.
He's so good at that, Novak Djokovic, isn't he? That little half volley. He just looks so secure and so precise.
And so casual. It's just, I mean, so casual that you don't realize how special of a shot that was. You're like, oh, that looks really easy. And then you're like, no, that's not easy at all.
Well, it looks just like he's reaching his racket down and casually popping it back into a very awkward place
on
court.
There's no timing or feel or hands that are involved.
Djokovic gets a serve in down the tee. It's 30 love onto the sideline. Slice from Rude, inside out from Djokovic, and then into the net.
Happy me, as Messrs. and Malkas are like this. Oh my goodness, you're all so funny. My days will be empty without your voices after this fortnight. Gigi and Marcus, my favourite duo. But all of you are amazing. Chris Bauer's voice is a joy to listen to. Thanks for everything. Looking forward to Gigi on Radio 5 Live at Wimbledon.
Well, that's all very demoralising for the rest of us, isn't it?
Don't blame me. That's Happy Me that mentioned that sent that in.
Like Happy You, like you say? You're just saying, you're just reading your own
very
tweet.
Happy Me. Thank you, Happy Me. You did put, you're all great. Loved all your voices.
But Gigi the most.
Yay. Awesome. Oh, it's like a frying pan shot from Rude that was never going to find the court, and that's a love hold for Novak Djokovic. And immediately the pressure, and that pressure of being two sets down in a Grand Slam final against Novak Djokovic, swings back and sits firmly on the Norwegian shoulders.
But the pressure's not going to let up. That's one of the Novak Djokovic things that Novak Djokovic does.
And the tough thing is, you almost get the sense that it's not even about the pressure anymore for Casper Ruud. He doesn't have a solution. It's not that he knows what he's trying to do and he's just not able to execute it. I just really don't know that he really knows how to solve this puzzle at all, or is even on his way to knowing how to solve the puzzle.
Thought about coming in Ruud, but he stays back and they're battling it out from the baseline. The forehand cross court from Ruud inside the service box, the forehand down the line from Djokovic, the slice down to the feet of Djokovic, who slices up, cuts it over, draws the Norwegian in. Norwegian has to stay in there, he's got no choice. He volleys and he makes it.
Well, and that's an area where he has actually managed to make some headway against Novak Djokovic. When he's come in, he's looked very comfortable coming in, and he's covered the court exceptionally well on the volley. And you could say, well, that's a good idea. Could you do that more? But it's so much easier said than done, because the weight of shot that Djokovic has, you don't have the opportunity to come in.
Yeah, he had to come up with a very special reflex lunging volley to get that down. And Novak Djokovic walked away and said, no problem. If you can do that 10 times out of 10, you can have it.
That sort of frying pan effect, where he sort of patter cakes the ball down. Rude, but got it deep and won the point.
He's won now 13 of 18 approaches at the net, Casper Ruud, today.
But that's not Casper Ruud's game, is it?
No.
And that's the difficult thing. That's the point you were making, Courtney, is that he's... That's not his comfort zone. And he's got to get that right over and over and over again.
And that's where he will feel the pressure, because he's obviously trying to tune in one of the biggest matches of his life.
Deep return. Djokovic now attacks. Oh, but he stumbles. And Ruud puts the lob up. The overhead from Djokovic nails it. Wasn't doing those at the start of this match.
I suppose the question in my mind is whether Djokovic will start to feel that pressure himself, and it's an internal pressure. It's him fighting his own sense of history and destiny here.
If it stays tight, yes. I think if he can get an early break, no. I think he'll then move it through. But if you're locked at a sort of 5-all in this, I think that's when he might start to feel it. He might blink.
Well, there's a goal for Casper Ruud, is just to stay with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Long for Ruud, 30-all.
And with every miss, Casper Ruud, checking to the box, looking very frustrated.
The four men in the front of the box are all leaning forward. They're like identical. They're like clones, aren't they? And then his girlfriend, I can see, in the pink behind. The sister's there as well. Binoculars are out for Lady Eleanor.
It's because your eyesight's much better than mine.
What?
Oh, we thought he had aced it, but just misses out wide. That's your big point. Backhand spin through the court, and the off forehand from Ruud. The backhand cross court flat from Djokovic. And Djokovic spins around and goes inside. Oh, wow! The depth on that ball from Novak Djokovic did an awful lot of damage. And we said Casper Ruud had to hang in there. He's now up against it. Break point down.
17th forehand winner from Novak Djokovic today. He's hit 34 in total, but only four of those were from the backhand wing. So that gives you an idea of kind of the ratio between the forehand and backhand. He's just been leathering it for the last hour.
Needs the first serve, gets the first serve. Backhand cross courts underway. Backhand to backhand they go. Redirected, but netted. And Djokovic cannot believe it. He netted it.
Gounder.
He's sort of smiling.
A rueful smile.
2.5 hours almost on the match clock. A Serbian flag flies high up to our left on Philippe Chatrier, and it's deuce. Djokovic leading by two sets of love, a set away from his 23rd Grand Slam title. He would be the all-time leading man with 23 Grand Slam titles. He'd be level with Serena Williams. And he'd be the only man in the history of men's tennis to have at least three at each Grand Slam. Backhand, cross-court, and the slide from Djokovic. Djokovic goes back to the backhand side, goes cross-court, backhand down the line for Ruud. Nearly snuck it over. Djokovic was almost in the full split on the slide as he hit that forehand.
Yeah, that ball checked in the clay just a little bit, held up, and Novak Djokovic, anticipating the trajectory, was just a little bit too deep in the court, had to lunge forward to it, threw his hands up in the sky like, come on, help me out a little bit. Well, you got 2 sets to love. It's okay.
Yeah, you.
I have a thought, but I'll bring it up in a second.
You're intrigued.
Just the one, mind.
I can only manage one at a time.
Rude. Game point. Backhand's in play off the serve. Backhand, cross court. Tried to redirect it. Djokovic doesn't make it. Had to save a break point. He's hanging on in there. On serve, 2-1 Rude. And now Tom can have like a little section. Courtney's thought.
No. I want to call it Courtney's Thoughtney.
Rude men.
Wow.
It never stops with you, does it?
Just saying it's there. No, I just... Oftentimes when I'm watching tennis matches and you watch these players, you know, we're so locked into them and... You see them react after points. And certain points, they have these big reactions of frustration. And other points, when you're watching, which you think are just as important points or just as bad of a shot or whatever, they don't react. And I've always wanted to know, in that moment, why did you react that way? And I've asked them, obviously, specific, but they never remember. They're like, oh, I don't know. Like, I just, you know, I don't know what point you were talking about. But I would love to have a running commentary, like, after each point, being able to stop. Like, time out. Why are you so mad? Like, why are you... there, it was a break point. He had the backhand up the line. Obviously, a 2-love lead was resting on that. But yeah, sometimes certain... Just understanding what a player considers an important point, or do you only get mad because of the result of the point? Do you only get mad because the idea was wrong, the execution? I'm just curious.
I'm not sure that it might not be the weight of the point. It might be the type of shot. If it's a shot that you nail 9 times out of 10 and you inexplicably get it wrong at that moment, or it's something that you've really worked on in practice and you've really improved and then you've gone back to old habits,
yeah,
it might be something very technical.
But every single player is different with respect to that. And I think it's such an interesting a way into a player's psyche to understand how they're hardwired as to, like, are you mad because you missed because it was a shot you weren't supposed to take? So you're kind of thinking things more like that. Are you just... Because there are definitely players I know that only get mad because the ball was out. It's not about...
It's not as complex.
It's not really complicated. But in that situation, for example, with Novak Djokovic missing that backhand, are you mad because it's break point and you missed? Or are you mad because that is your bread and butter backhand up the line and you missed, regardless of the fact that it was a break point? Just a random thought.
Courtney's thought.
I think about it all the time. All the time.
Djokovic goes down the line. Thought about stepping forward, but he stays back. He slides into the forehand cross court. First point of game four, set three. Leads by 2 sets to love. The slide in the backhand from Ruud. Djokovic switches it cross court. Just left Ruud with too much work to do. Held it for a fraction of a second.
I think also there are many players who have had to conquer their own perfectionism.
Yes.
I mean, Roger Federer is a great example. As a young player, it took him, actually, relatively speaking, considering his talent, quite a long time to win his first title. And a lot of that was because he spent a lot of time getting really down on himself in matches because he knew what he was capable of and he couldn't cope with anything that was less than perfect on every shot.
Yeah.
And well, that's not how tennis works.
No, but that's... every single one of these tennis players is a perfectionist. They all say it. And of all sports to be a perfectionist in, how could you possibly... be that way in tennis? I mean, yeah. You are just setting yourself up for literally daily failure. So it's fascinating. I mean, it's the side of the sport that draws me to it more than anything else, is the psychological aspect for sure. But I've always been curious about that. Like, why do you get mad when you get mad? Because sometimes it's obvious, but sometimes it's not.
I suppose you could argue that in life, sometimes it's obvious why we get mad persnickety.
I was going to say the P word.
I saw that coming. I saw that coming through on Twitter.
We've been having a good time, Mom. We've just been playing with our Legos in the corner. Don't worry about it.
Persnickety.
I thought it was
pernickety. No, but it's a different word. You know how words are different.
Forehead into the corner, but now it's my turn. Marcus. My massage has been brought forward.
Novak Djokovic takes no prisoners, Eleanor Preston.
What? 40 loves. Not taking prisoners in game four. All right. Okay. We'll get back to the tennis. Game points for 2-2. 2 hours, 34, cloud cover, muggy conditions. Serve down the tee. Djokovic inside the baseline. Run from the backhand. Goes inside out forehand to the backhand. That goes to the middle of the court. Oh, wow. He leathered that ball, Djokovic. He holds to love it. Shot past Ruud. He was over it, so he could see it caught the line. And that's two games all.
Well, not a murmur of dissent from Casper Ruud. No question in his mind that it was in. I must confess, I had a little second look over.
It looked long, but it must have just slid right off that baseline.
It was the deepest bit of deep.
You know when you're in a Grand Slam, you're really in a bubble, aren't you? Things go on in the world and you're just stuck in this sort of bubble. And you know when you're coming out of it, when you start getting messages from your Spanish teacher, they do Spanish every Wednesday, there's like 15 of us.
Amazing.
Saying, looking forward to having you back next week. I hope you've been doing all your homework. And I'm thinking, oh. And then I get an email with about 15 attachments of what I have to do for Wednesday. I'm thinking, oh. Do I not go to the class or do I brave the class and just admit I did nothing?
Oh, that is actually an incredible... That's a good trolley problem. I don't know. What would be my...
It's Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, 2 hours. Do I brave it and smile as I did nothing?
You've got a good excuse.
I think so. Half volley off the shoelaces from Ruud. The forehand approach from Djokovic. Into the net from Ruud. It's 15-all.
Just tell your mates with Alex Correcha. If she's Spanish, she'll love them.
Oh.
See, what I should have done... She's from Venezuela. I should have done a little video saying sorry from Alex, saying sorry she hasn't done her homework or something like that.
It's not too late. He's just on our right.
He's busy.
Yes, I know he's doing commentary on a grandstand final.
Busy. Come on, Eleanor. I kind of think Marcus would just barge in. Alex, come on, Alex. Got something for you to record. 15-all, 2-all, served down the tee. The backhand spins back and it sits up and it's hammered away by Ruud. Ruud has to play the volley back to Djokovic. The lob is up. Casper Ruud hits the overhead. Djokovic gets there, puts another lob up. That's a high ball. Nearly hits Spider Cam. And Ruud saying, come on, miss the court. And it misses the court.
He's just having to work so hard on every single point now.
And it just seems like he's playing hopeful points. You know, he's not really taking it on. I mean, the first set, we saw him hit huge forehands, gun for the lines, be aggressive, far more aggressive than we're used to seeing him be. He's kind of now dropped into his shell, playing very conservatively, hitting to bigger targets, even on his approach shots, on his volleys, and hoping that it's enough.
Yeah, and hope is not going to be enough against Novak Djokovic, because hope... dwindles.
Yes. It's the hope that kills you.
You are full of positivity in this third set, aren't you? You're a bundle of positivity. Game points for Casper Ruud at 40-15 to keep the scoreboard lean. It's hammered back to the four. And it came back with such force that it was framed by Ruud. It flicks wide and it's 40-30.
And it's not for lack of trying. I'm not in any way suggesting that Casper Ruud is, you know, giving up the ghost, if you'll pardon the pun. And honestly, that was unintentional.
Eleanor!
I promise you, it's unintentional. Sometimes they're just, you know...
Natural. To you.
But you know, he's just, as Courtney says, he's trying everything and nothing's worked. And now
forward.
He's running out of ideas.
Backhand down the lies passed. It wasn't the most confident of approaches from Ruud. The gap was spotted by Djokovic. He slams it cross court for the winner. And this now becomes very interesting. The fifth game of the third set and it's juice.
Look, I mean, sometimes there comes this realization in these matches that you do not have the tool set as of yet to beat an opponent the way that they are playing. And with Ruud, he has to hope for a dip. He has to hope for a little opening, but that's out of his control.
Mid-court return, back behind Djokovic, game point.
And that may happen. You know, that may happen. 100%. It may happen as Novak Djokovic gets ever closer to the finish line. And, you know, he's a human being. We've seen that. Thoughts can swirl around his head about, you know, I really want this. It's a Grand Slam title. It's another title at Roland Garros.
Let premier service.
Ball boy, scurry, get back into position. Casper takes three balls, discards one, discards another. Two hours 39. Game point for 3-2. Oh, that is an absolute peach of a serve. An ace out wide for Casper in his third of the final. What it does, and we've said this from the start, is it keeps him in the scoreboard lead, which is very, very important for the Norwegian 3-2.
Well, every hold is important. Every point's important. And that was actually one of the best serves I think he's hit all match.
It was nice and clean. And like we said, as Eleanor and I have been kind of keeping track of his kind of first serve as the last, you know, towards the end of the second set until now, it's gotten a lot better. He's only missed three first serves in this set so far. That goes a long way. You keep that scoreboard pressure. And I keep waiting for him. I know he's been trying to get to the net, trying to shorten those points, try and take control up there. It's not a bad play for him. He will occasionally get passed in rather spectacular fashion, but it's still a good percentage play. But when is he going to start going back to hitting that big forehand? When is he going to start trying to impose some sort of pace on Novak Djokovic? It's uncomfortable for him. I get it. And the ball can come searing back and basically take him out of his defensive position. But at least it's a message. Right now, there's nothing that Kasparud is doing that is bothering Novak at all.
Do you think he's almost waiting for there an opportunity that just isn't ever coming? Because Kasparud's normal game is it's very patient. It's patient build-up to the point where he can start firing shots like that. And against lots of players, that works okay. Works very well in lots of instances. Against Novak Djokovic, you're never going to find the perfect moment. You've just got to go for it.
You have to take it. You have to make your moment. You have to create your moment, and you have to do it with offense. You are not going to be able to do it with defense or counter punches or steadiness or consistency. You gotta bang the ball. You have to do it. So Casper Ruud, if he can get that forehand, if he can get that whipping inside in particular, I think is a big shot to be able to break things down, take that ball down the line and flat. That can begin to rattle things. But right now, this is all just math for Novak.
Happy Muse got back in touch. Sorry, I do love you all. We'll miss you all. Honest.
Too late.
No grudges.
You are so harsh today.
Persnickety, one would say.
What's the difference between that and pernickety? Well, we done that.
I don't know what pernickety is.
Pernickety is overly fussy and pedantic.
Yeah, isn't there what's persnickety?
No, persnickety is more kind of punchy, isn't it?
Lofted return from
Ruud. They're kind of the same.
So maybe it's the same thing.
Maybe it's the same word. We just somehow imported an S.
Is it pernickety, like taking three? Well, it's more sort of taking three balls from the ball kid and then discarding two because they've got slightly too much fluff on, and most people wouldn't see a difference between the three.
Yeah, I wouldn't describe that as persnickety.
Maybe I'm wrong. Persnickety. Yeah. 2-3, 15 love. Djokovic misses out wide. Stacey says, I turned on the radio broadcast while I cooked breakfast and was excited to hear you three ladies calling the game together. Ace, second serve. It's such a hard serve to read, the Djokovic serve.
Yeah, he just comes around it so quickly. Same ball toss. And again, I think it's Novak Djokovic does not get the credit that he deserves in terms of all the work that he's put into it. I mean, when he had those service yips back in the day, I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. And now we don't even talk about that. Now we talk about how he's like this fitness Iron Man. We don't talk about, again, those early days when he was literally dragged in press conferences by Andy Roddick, who is now one of his biggest fans, who, you know, making fun of him, effectively.
Because he had breathing issues, he didn't finish matches,
he would struggle in the heat, all of these sorts of things. And he has made himself, formed himself into this seemingly unbreakable player. And it's, I mean, that's not easy.
breeze has whipped up. Djokovic goes too deep with the forehand. He raises his arms and drops them against his thigh.
Yeah, I mean, the curve of improvement is extraordinary. And as I mean, I would say, and this is not in any way diminishing the achievements of someone like a Roger Federer or a Rafael Nadal, but they were not quite fully formed, but close to being fully formed when they started to win Grand Slam titles. Rafa Nadal here at the age of 17 was, you know, he was a muscular player with a fantastic forehand, amazing court coverage, and a phenomenal competitor.
He
got slightly better at all those things as he went along. Federer had this beautiful, stylish, elegant game. He was a wonderful mover, and those elements were there. As you said, Djokovic is more, he's more Robocop, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's I remember Peter Bodo once wrote, he's the player's player. He's the guy that has all the things that players would want kind of all machined together. And that's what makes him him. I mean, that's what makes him be able to do what he's doing.
Which
there's
is
no weakness.
Close out the point, take us to three games all, midway point, third set.
And he is the modern game. His game style is the modern game.
I mean,
we talked this a little bit on the women's side about the way Iga Świątek plays. That is the modern women's game. I think we saw it yesterday against Karolina Muchova, which is like a throwback, the artistry, the serve and volleying, all this sort of stuff. That is a more traditional throwback. But Iga's game, why it is so difficult, especially on this surface, to beat, this is the next evolution. It's the open-handed sliding backhand. It's the heavy spin, you know, built all together. And I read a few pieces this morning of postmortems from that final, and quite a few writers kind of making the connection of, even though Rafa Nadal is her idol, actually, she's more in the vein of a Novak Djokovic and how she plays, because they both are able to do a similar thing.
Big backhand line winner from Rude. First point, game seven.
15-0.
This is also the generation, in Świątek's case, is a generation post Serena and to a degree Venus, post that game changing, literally and figuratively, that happened when the Williams sisters began to take a dominant role in tennis.
Absolutely. Everything is a reaction to the generation before.
30-0.
I think Andre Agassi also is in some ways a little bit of a prototype for Novak Djokovic. Sorry. And then he's added in all these other elements. He's like a super souped up Andre Agassi.
Yeah. He's just kind of soaked in everything that all of these greats that he has been in the vicinity of. He's kind of taken, again, machined, robocopped it, you know.
Forehand back off the serve. It's 30 love. Really goes back to the fourth. It goes down the line for a winner. And that was Rude. I think he was admiring it while at the same time being frustrated by it.
Another conversation to the box by Casper Rude. Every time that he feels like he's getting a toe hold, you know, he just, Novak Djokovic throws in a forehand that just backs him off.
Yeah, it's one step forward and about five steps back.
Good serving. Game points.
But the serve can save him. The serve is what can keep things tight. Again, still has only missed four first serves in this set so far.
To edge ahead once more, the fourth seed, after 2 hours and 47 minutes of final action. Rude serves into the body, pulls out the backhand but drops it short, the drop shot, but it's sat up nicely. Djokovic had plenty of time to get there, pause a little bit, wait for Rude to make his move and place the win.
We made the time there, didn't he? There was nothing rushed about that. Almost danced in and then just bided his time.
Had all day to hit any shot he wanted from that position.
Oops, someone's packing up early. It's not Stefan, he's still here. Forehand inside in from Rude, the stretch. It's a high ball from Djokovic. It will find the court. The overhead cross court winner, and Casper Rude skips back to his chair, pops his fist to his box. They're all applauding. He keeps the scoreboard lead 4-3, third set.
A little dance from Casper Rude. We haven't seen one of those, actually, this whole match, really, since the first couple of games. It was an awful moment there. We've seen him miss a couple of overheads in this match. It's crossed my mind when he went up to hit that smash. Casper, just take your time.
Breathe. Yeah. It's all good.
This is not the one to miss.
You want to let it bounce, you do that.
30 minutes, this third set.
A positive game there from Casper Ruud, because, like I was saying, you know, when he feels the confidence of being able to rip that forehand flat inside in, he can break these rallies open a little bit, get Novak Djokovic on the run. He finally did that there, went inside in, and then followed it up with the overhead. But, you know, if he starts to see those patterns, see those little things that can earn those quick short points,